You know, after more than a year there, I felt so far away from home. Something just made me wish to return back to my home country where I haven't been for so long. And even though it sounds illogical.
Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome. Here we are again at another episode of the New Nomad Podcast. Plamen Ivanov is joining us today from Nomad Balkans. And you know, Andrew, we've spoken about many different countries over the course of our podcast. We've heard awful lot about Spain and Portugal and other locations, but we have not made a trip virtually to Bulgaria and the Balkans. And I'm really excited about this because what Plamen is building there is another alternative for our audience to either visit, go work out of, etc. And to me, as we widen our geographic overview, I'm very excited. So I have not gotten to that area of the world in my 75 plus countries. So he's giving me a place to go visit. How about yourself? What's your thoughts on expanding our geographical horizons?
Yes, this is, I know it's been on the radar of so many people with Bansko Fest and different things that happened there. This is a pleasure to have Plamen join today and open the eyes of those listeners that travel virtually with us, as you described, Alan. I look forward to hearing this. I think he's joining us from Sofia today. So if we could paint a visual picture and learn more about some of the other places in the world he's touched down. So this, I'm glad that we have him joining. Come on in, Plamen. Introduce yourself, Alan. And tell us what's happening in your world.
Hello, Alan and Andrew. First of all, thank you very much for your kind invitation to join you today and for the opportunity to talk more about my country and what I have been doing with Nomad Balkans. It's a beautiful day out there here today in Sofia. So it's my pleasure.
So our audience very often travels to places that has some interesting historical aspects, has a great community. Then they always add, I need great Wi-Fi because I'm going to be working or blogging or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, you know, Bulgaria, because it's a place that people, when they return from, say it's really an underappreciated gem, but on the front end, I don't see a lot of people kind of saying themselves, this is a place I have a deep understanding of. So I would love your overview as, you know, you work with people and you've been an entrepreneur helping people travel into Bulgaria. Share with us a little bit what you see from your angle.
Thank you for bringing this point, Alan, because it's one of the main reasons for myself returning to Bulgaria after so many years living abroad. And as you mentioned, other beautiful countries, Spain or Portugal, which both of you and Andrew pointed out earlier, are very famous because of their food, the nice weather, and the nice people and community that is built over there. Bulgaria has been overlooked by many people, especially including from the nomad community. But we have all the ingredients to attract people who are searching for a place with great work-life balance, because we have nice weather, well-defined four seasons, which can attract people because of the summer seaside, because of the winter activities. We have nice ski resorts as well. We have beautiful villages, variety of different natural landscapes, organic food. It's a country which is to be experienced because of our authentic lifestyle as well. And you also mentioned the history earlier. Bulgaria has a wide heritage because many different tribes have been living in our country in the past. And this makes the whole of this of our culture is, it has a unique flavor and taste, which needs to be experienced.
And you hit upon it because it's interesting to me, the four seasons, and people do not realize you can go from a summer at the shore to skiing, et cetera. And most people, when they focus on Bulgaria, focus on Sofia. But could you explain a little bit about some of the different locations in the country that people either will slow travel to, or if they are in Sofia, they might travel out to as they spend maybe a month or two in Bulgaria?
Yeah, for the most of the people, Sofia is the entrance point. So this is where the main airport is. Most of the people arrive to Sofia, and many people also commit the mistake to make a short trip and only stay in Sofia. And of course, it's not possible to get the full flavor, the full taste of what Bulgaria is unless you step outside of this area. So I would rather recommend to people go to the rural communities or go to the mountains. So you can truly experience Bulgaria in an authentic way. Go visit some village where a local grandma can welcome you with a freshly produced food, or where you can take the veggies straight from the garden to the table. So Bulgaria, authentic Bulgaria, goes far away from the big city. And we also have some smaller towns, which have also preserved the heritage of previous generations and the different historical moments. So I would rather recommend to people to save more time and not focus only on Sofia.
Okay, you got me on food. So if a grandmother was going to serve me some specialty regional dish then, and it was, late afternoon, early evening, what do you think is the one dish that you would hope that she would feed?
Good question.
Or serve to us?
Good question. I would highlight the typical traditional Bulgarian dish, which is a salty pastry called banitsa, which is made of different types of pastry sheets. And the filling is of the Bulgarian white cheese called sirene, some yogurt, which yogurt is famous. We try to take pride of being the country where yogurt has been invented. And also some different veggies can be added as a filling. And all this is bacon and has a really very crispy layer on the top. And it's just a dish that we use in different family gatherings. And it's also used in different Bulgarian holidays. For example, in the New Year's table, banitsa is always present as well.
Fantastic. Andrew and I we love to talk about the different foods, especially, in the context of sustainable travel too. You had touched upon earlier, like having organic, natural foods. And when we travel and you eat that type of food, you feel much better on that. I would also assume that your beer and wine, very local and very good on this. Is this one of the things that attracts travelers as you put together team retreats, events, etc.? Is kind of that cultural interaction because of the lack of understanding about Bulgaria and people have an amazement that there's so many opportunities there? Share a little bit about if Andrew and I were to arrive and work with Nomad Balkans and be there for, let's say, a month, what typically happens to somebody from the beginning of the month to the end in your mind if you've had time in Bulgaria?
Good question. And thank you, Alan, for pointing this out. So basically what we do is a end-to-end support and arrangement of the whole experience of people, nomad travelers or remote workers who would like to go to a new place, in this case, Bulgaria, and set a life for themselves for a month. So we basically take care of accommodation, all the different transportation and logistic needs that they may have. We find a co-working space for them. We share with them different tips of how to move around in their town or village, which they choose. We often combine different destinations. So our ideal recommendation to customers is to come to Bulgaria and experience first the city environment, because it's easier to get adapted at the beginning. Later go to a village, maybe spend some time in a community where they can connect also with some local grandmas, as I said, and be closer to these organic farms. Later maybe go to the mountain, do some activities and go do some rafting or horse riding or later go to the seaside as well, which is now what we are currently working on. The seaside in May, in June, it's just beautiful. We have many surfing spots, places where you can go bird watching or sea kayaking. So there are plenty of opportunities of things to do to not get bored. And all of this is surrounded by a great Wi-Fi network coverage. In Bulgaria, we take pride of saying that internet connection is good, even in the rural areas. And since you started the question with this, I don't want to keep on saying that food is a very important element of everything that we do. We partner with different local tours and activities providers. We partner with some villages that have organic farms or organizing different workshops, not just for the purpose of taste a local food, but also with the purpose of learning about how to grow food organically, because it's a lifestyle. So we don't only want people to experience this, but also to bring something home when they go back.
Quick thing. So you touched upon something. So May and June, would that be the time that if you were going to visit Bulgaria once, might be the perfect season from a weather perspective? I'd love your timing issue. When would be best? And secondly, given that I only speak English, and some would argue only barely that, how are the English speaking skills as you get out of the major cities? Or how much would I have to work on my language skills?
Good question. First, about the best moment to visit Bulgaria, I would say spring and autumn are my favorite because it's the weather, as I said, we take pride of being a four-season destination. But the point is that summer season, it's already most of the people come to Bulgaria for the summer season when we speak about the seaside. And in winter, for sure, the mountain resorts are already quite full. This is why I prefer to talk about mostly autumn and spring, because in that moment of the year, still accommodations are quite empty in many of the seaside destinations or in the mountain. And the weather is just great. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's not the nature. It's just everything is green and welcoming. There are many vegetables growing just at that moment, fruits that you can take straight from the garden. So it's a very convenient time for traveling from the perspective of the weather and also from the perspective of the availability for doing different activities. When it comes to the language, if you stay in the city, everyone here, especially from the younger population, speaks English, so you feel like at home. When you step outside, when you go to a village, for sure, the grandma that is going to welcome you with a banitsa will possibly not speak English, but from my experience, this is not a problem because I have also traveled to many countries all around the world, and language is not such a problem. As well, as long as people welcome you with open heart, there are always to make yourself understood.
Now, I've got a question. You've traveled around the world. You've worked as a remote worker living in other places. Is that common for within your sphere of influence? Do you see that happening more and more where people from your childhood, from your city, your region are saying, I'm going to go work in other countries? And they're leaving and doing it short term because we're seeing it where people are quitting their jobs and saying, I can make more elsewhere. But is that happening from your vantage point?
Good question. Yes. Yes and no. It very much depends on where have you been, what did you study, what is your career choice. But I have noticed, especially in the last 5 years, that many Bulgarians that I have met since I came back are taking on this entrepreneurial, freelance, professional path. And they have the interest of traveling abroad and going to different places. Not all of them are doing it with the idea of having a nomadic experience, but it's definitely a trend that is going to happen from here onwards. For sure, like in UK or in the States, you have more people in proportion doing this and choosing this type of lifestyle. But step by step, we are seeing more people here in Bulgaria being more cosmopolitan and enjoying this type of lifestyle. And from my experience so far, no one has returned after they have started doing this.
Awesome. Quick question on how Bulgaria accepts, like, is there digital nomad visas if people decide to stay longer, or is that in development? What's kind of the overall, you know, if somebody said, I'm going to stay more than a month. I mean, if I'm staying a month, I'm reaching out to you at nomadbalkans.com and having you facilitate everything. But if I'm coming for a year, is there something different that somebody should do? Or is the government helping digital nomad visas, or is it a little trickier to stay longer?
Good point, Alan. And right now, currently, even though it's the wish of everyone working in the field, as I am, of Bulgarian government stepping in and being more progressive and adopting such a policy, we are not there yet, although we aim to make some influence and have conversations with the government in helping this happen. At this current stage, what most of the people who are coming from non-European Union countries, there is this possibility of coming for 3 months as a non-Schengen country. And after 3 months, you need to go back to another Schengen countries and then you come back. This is like a short term of what is possible. On the other hand, there is this type D visa for people coming from non-EU country, which you can apply depending on your income, depending on if you want to establish a business here, if you want to hire locally employees. So there are different options for people who would like to establish here. And as long as you can prove according to different criteria, you can apply and get the visa for 12 months. And afterwards, there are other options as well.
Great. Well, you have, you know, you're somebody who has moved between Australia to Spain and then returned back to Bulgaria. As you made those transitions, how has it been? What have you learned at each different? You must have brought something with you from each one of those experiences. And our audience loves those type of transitions. I mean, that's quite a distance between Australia to Spain and then back home. Tell us a little bit about your experience as you've moved between locations.
Thank you for bringing this up. I was born and raised in Bulgaria, but when I was a teenager, my family moved to I went on a visit there and decided to stay longer. And this longer turned into being a 15 year stay. After all, I finished my university degree there and I studied and worked for several years in the corporate world. Spain, it's a wonderful country, and this is what inspired me to study tourism, because Spain is possibly the most touristic country in the world. And I saw plenty of opportunities to develop in this field. I got so inspired because of the level of dedication and the service that the Spanish people have towards others. They're undoubtedly famous for being so warm nation. So this is what I took from there. But after so many years, at some point I felt stuck. So I decided to do something else. And I think my adventurous spirit was the reason for me deciding to go and move to the other side of the world, to Australia, where I had an entrepreneurial program for over a year. I met many wonderful people. This is where I came across the nomadic lifestyle as well. I traveled a lot around the country. But, you know, after more than a year there, I felt so far away from home. Something just made me wish to return back to my home country, where I haven't been for so long. And even though it sounds illogical, at that point of life where I was the farthest away from home, yeah, something from the inside told me that I should do something and bring everything that I have learned back to my home country, and to start doing something which will put Bulgaria on the map of digital nomads, of travelers, and try to make a positive impact about what people think about Bulgaria.
Interesting in that just last week I was talking to a coworker about Balkans. Because people generalize the Balkans, and you have nomadbalkans.com, which those listening can go to and discover more about it. But how would you define the Balkans? Because I've heard you reference bringing people into the Balkans, into Bulgaria, exposing, etc. You know, is that, you know, how would you describe it as a region, as a tourist destination or a lifestyle destination? It's Moldova. It's what comprises it in your mind? And and do tell, if you will, because interestingly, we have people who only Bali has been on the mind, or Mexico, or co-working within their home country, you know, or looking at co-working spaces.
Yes, Good question, Andrew, and thank you for bringing this up. Our area, the Balkans, has been overlooked by travelers, and it's not so well known, let's say like that. It has always been like staying in the sight when people choose where to travel to, unfortunately. So geographically, this area comprises Bulgaria, part of Romania, part of northern Greece, also all the former Yugoslavia countries, so Serbia, Montenegro, the Bosnia, also Croatia, even part of Slovenia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia, and also Albania. So it's a quite a big region. So let's say everything that comes in the southeastern part of Europe comes to be entirely or partially belonging to the Balkan region. And a region that, because of the geographical location, it has been in the cross section of the different empires that have been fighting through the ages. So the Roman Empire has been here. After that, the Ottomans have been here, for the Byzantines after the Romans. So there have been different power shifts, and this has left a lot of different traditions, different religions. So people from different ethnicities are still co-living in this place. And this is what makes this place so unique and at the same time so interesting to visit, because you can taste different foods. There are different traditions that you can envision, different architecture styles, different types of people. And this is what makes this this place so fascinating, because even in the same country, depending on if you go north or south, to the mountain or to the seaside, you can experience different types of lifestyle.
It's interesting because I've been to Montenegro and I've been to Kosovo and I've been to Croatia. And I want to tell you, they were incredible experiences. And by the way, for those of you who've never been to Montenegro, they have something that rivals the Grand Canyon there, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. So very good by expanding the conversation to the Balkans, which leads us to the question that we often ask all of our guests is, can you share maybe an overlooked person, place, or experience that you would like our audience to know about that maybe on the face of it, they wouldn't think about? And now that you brought up, I would actually mention some of those countries and if somebody asked me that question, but what's an overlooked person, place, or experience you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, we have been talking a lot about Bulgaria. I would like to expand this to also some of the neighboring countries, which are not so popular among the travel community. You pointed out on Montenegro, which is one of my favorite countries from the Balkans as well. But I would highlight two neighboring countries as well, which made me a really great impression. And I think that in the future, they can be a trend spot for nomads and for travelers. One is Albania, which has one of the best tropic-like beaches that I have seen, not only in Europe, but also in all the places that I have been to. And the other is Bosnia, which is fascinating, a mixture of different cultures, traditions, and type of people, and the food is just amazing. And this is part of what we are doing in Nomad Balkans. We want to bring people together, and we see these as like for us as an opportunity to make an impact and make this region feel united and to bring it to the map of for travelers to come and to experience.
Fabulous. Where can our listeners find you? Where's the best place to go? You personally, your company, etc.
Best place to find out about what we do is to go to our website, nomadbalkans.com. We have started with Bulgaria. Now we are expanding to Greece. And as I just said, we would very much like to integrate other countries into the future. And from the personal side, people can find me on LinkedIn, Plamen Ivanov Ivanov, and I'll be happy to help anyone move around the Balkans.
We appreciate you today. Learned very much. I'm going to expand my search within that area beyond the few countries I've traveled to and did not get to Albania, but thank you for it. That's actually, I heard the same thing when I was in the area that it's a great place to visit. So Andrew, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, Insured Nomads has our logo across the back of a Niva, a Lata Niva in Bansko. We have branded that Niva to co-working Bansko. And so as I've listened, I think, you know, it's a big, bright orange Niva because that co-working Bansko is orange in everything they do. It makes me want to take that Niva down a dirt road and find a farmhouse to where I could just see that food, eat that food, take those flavors in. That's what I've pictured as Plamen described. And that's on my mind as we wrap up, because the journey took me there, literally.
Well, not only the great description, but I'm wondering if you skipped breakfast this morning because you seem to be focused on food today. And believe me, that's an excellent thing because I am now hungry too. So as soon as we're done recording, it will be a nice morning cup of coffee with a wonderful pastry.
No. Actually, I didn't. But, you know, it's a thing of as you travel different places. Just recently in one of our episodes, someone was talking about the amazing butter and yogurt in France and things. And it just reminded me of, I did have a great croissant this morning for breakfast. But as he described it, I want to go to Bansko, get in that Niva. Yes, I've driven those Nivas before, those interesting vehicles of the region. But yeah, thanks, Plamen. This has been great. I'm glad all of you have joined us to listen in. Do give us a great review on whatever platform you're listening on, if you will.
Well, thank you for joining us today, all the New Nomad Podcast. We hope we took you to a new part of the world. We hope you continue with that spirit of adventure. Join us next week for another adventure in the New Nomad Podcast. Cheers.
Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad Podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.